Well, definitely this is not Rome, and I'm not Paul. Well, first of all, I would say good morning, church. I heard so much about Broadview Evangelical Free Church, and it's been a privilege for me to serve there as the last director of the Evangelical Free Church mission, and then it was called Serve Beyond. It's been a privilege and a joy to be with you today. Thank you, Pastor Lawrence, and the church leaders for the invitation to share God's word today. I've been really longing to be visiting this church. It's been a blessing to worship you, to worship with you, and to reflect together on what God is doing in this world. So would you join me as we consider this message, the mobilized for the mission of God. And I'm going to be sharing as well with you the idea that God calls every believer and every church to joyfully participate in the redemptive mission, in God's redemptive mission to the world. But first, let us pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. Thank you that you're the Lord of the harvest, and that, Lord, you have made every believer, every church, as your instrument to bring the message of hope to the world. Thank you for such a great privilege. And we pray now that you would just open our hearts, open our minds, that, Lord, we would accept this challenge, that, Lord, we are your instruments to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Have you ever had that feeling that there must be something more? More than simply going through the motions. More than attending services. More than maintaining routines. Deep within the heart of every follower of Christ is a God-given desire to live for something greater than ourselves. The wonderful truth of Scripture is that God never intended his people to merely observe God's work. He created us to participate in it. From Genesis to Revelation, we can see and we can discover a God who actively pursuing people with his love and grace. Even more astonishing, he invites ordinary people, men and women, people like us, to join him in his redemptive mission. And that is a wonderful privilege for us. The God who created the universe could accomplish his purposes without us. Yet he chooses to work through us. He calls us to become his ambassadors, his witnesses, his servants, and his partners in bringing the hope of the gospel to the world. I'm sharing this with you not to put a guilt trip or to pressure you in terms of missions. But as what Pastor Lawrence says, this is an invitation. This is an invitation for us. It is God's invitation for every believer and every church to discover the joy, the purpose, and fulfillment that comes from participating in God's mission. The mission of God is not reserved for pastors, for missionaries, for ministry professionals. It is the calling of every believer. It is the calling of every church. And it is the adventure that God has prepared for us. But before we can understand the role, our role in God's mission, we must first understand where mission begins. Many people think mission begins with the church. Others think it begins with the missionaries or mission agencies or even the Great Commission itself. But the truth is far deeper than that. Mission did not originate with us or from us. Mission originated in the very heart of God. Long before there was a church, long before there were missionaries, and long before Jesus gave the Great Commission, God was already pursuing humanity with his redeeming love. So the story of the Bible is ultimately a story, the story of a missionary God seeking lost people and inviting them into a relationship with him, with himself. So if we are going to become a fully mobilized church and a missional people, we must first rediscover the missionary heart of God. Let's begin where all missions begin, with God himself. I'm just going to read Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Very familiar passage for all of us. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age." Very familiar passages. I'm sure many of us have heard about this. This is the mandate. This is the mandate for us as a church and as individuals. The mandate is make disciples, and how do we do that? We go, we baptize, and teach. Not just teach, but teach to obey the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. So before mission was ever the activity of the church, it was the passion of God. Throughout Scripture, we see God's relentless love pursuing humanity. God sought Adam and Eve after the fall. God called Abraham to bless the nations. God called up prophets to call people back to himself. God sent his Son into the world. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the world. And Jesus now sends his church. So mission is something God does occasionally. Mission flows from who God is. Our God is a missionary sending God. So when Jesus stood before his disciples and declared, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," he was inviting the disciples, the church, to continue the story of God that he had been writing from the very beginning. And whenever the church aligns itself with God's heart, something beautiful happens. Faith comes alive. Prayer becomes meaningful. Worship becomes deeper. And purpose becomes clearer. Like a river flowing from its source, the church experiences fresh life when it remains connected to God's redemptive purposes. So the closer we move to God's heart, the closer we move to his mission. When we discover that God is a sending God, an important question naturally follows. Who does God send? Who does God send? Is this mission reserved for a select few? like the pastors, missionaries, and ministry leaders? Or does every follower of Jesus have a place in God's redemptive work? The New Testament gives us a clear and encouraging answer. God calls every believer to participate in his mission. We read in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. One of the freeing truths in Scripture in the New Testament is that every believer has a place in God's kingdom work. God never intended ministry to be carried by few people and everyone just watches. In other words, ministry is not the responsibility of the few. It is the privilege of the entire body of Christ. Every believer has been gifted by God. Every believer has been gifted by God, and every believer has a role to play. Every believer in the church matters. Because some are called to cross cultures. Some are called to support missionaries. Some are called to disciple others. Some are called to pray. Some are called to give. Some are called to mobilize and encourage others. But all of us are called to participate. Jesus never invited people merely to sit and listen. He invited them to follow him, to follow Christ. And when we follow Christ, we discover that discipleship is not passive, it's active. The Christian life is not simply about attending church, it's about becoming the church. It's about joining God in what he is doing in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our communities, and around the world. And what joy it is to know that God can use each one of us. Knowing that every believer has a role in God's mission is inspiring, actually. But what does that look like in practice? What happens when an entire church embraces God's missionary purpose? Fortunately, we don't have to guess. The church at Antioch provides one of the clearest examples of a congregation that moved beyond simply believing about mission, but to actively mobilizing and participating in the mission of God. So let's look at the example in Acts 13, 1 to 3. And it reads there, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." The church at Antioch was not perfect by any means, but it was a mission-minded church. It was a church that worshiped passionately, and they prayed fervently. They listened to the Holy Spirit, and they developed their leaders intentionally, and they sent their people courageously. What stands out most is that when the Holy Spirit called Barnabas and Saul, the church willingly released their leaders for greater kingdom impact. That is remarkable. Rather than holding tightly to their best leaders, they trusted God enough to send them. The church at Antioch understood something important, that the kingdom of God is bigger than any one congregation. Healthy churches celebrate what God is doing beyond their own walls. Healthy churches, they understood that healthy churches raise up people and send them. And healthy churches think beyond themselves. Like a ship built to sail, the church was created to move outward with the gospel. And the church shines brightest when it is helping others encounter Jesus. I had the privilege, when I was still in the Philippines, I had the privilege to preach this same passage, Acts 13, 1-3. I was invited in a very in a small church in a squatter area, very poor. But they started to have this vision that they want to be ascending church, especially when they realized this Acts 13, 1-3. So lo and behold, when I was preaching, they suddenly realized and convicted, but they need to send their best leader in their congregation. And so they look around, and who is the best person that we can send? They look around, and they said, it's the pastor. The pastor is our best person. Let us send him. Let us send him. So, you know, the pastor actually was a civil engineer, and the church had this passion to reach the Muslims for Christ in the Middle East. A small church, poor church, but they realized, we are going to send our pastor. It's almost like, here we are, Lord. Instead of saying, send me, send our pastor. No, that wasn't the thing. But they were keen in sending their pastor. But the problem in the Philippines is that missions was just starting at that time when I was there. And the problem was how to support their pastor. But God has, in all his wisdom, led them that their pastor, when they send their pastor, they're going to send him to Saudi Arabia in Riyadh to plant churches there, not just for the Filipino church, to plant Filipino churches, but to plant a church among the South Asians, the Pakistanis, you know, and many others, and of course, the Saudis themselves. He's still alive. He was okay. But they were able to send their best person. Was there any more pastor there? No. God raised up another person from their own congregation and pastored that church. Praise God. They trusted when they sent their best leader, God provided them with a pastor. So the church at Antioch demonstrates the beauty and power of a church fully engaged in God's mission. Yet church history reminds us that not every church maintains that focus. Every healthy church can gradually drift from their original purpose. The greatest threat to a church is often not persecution from the outside, but destruction from within. That brings us an important warning we all need to hear, is the danger of mission drift. The danger of mission drift. Mission drift happens gradually. It happens gradually. A church doesn't wake up one morning and decide to abandon the mission. Many churches are doing great things, many good things. But little by little, programs replace purpose. Comfort replaces sacrifice. Preservation replaces obedience. And consumerism replaces discipleship. Before long, energy becomes focused inward rather than outward. But God's desire for His church is far greater than mere survival. He wants His church to thrive. And churches thrive when they remain connected to God's mission. I'm just going to give you how are the churches in Canada doing? How are we doing in Canada as far as the evangelical churches are concerned? So not just the Evangelical Free Church, but the evangelicals, the Bible-believing Christians in Canada. It's kind of a sobering information that I'm going to share. But this is what is happening in Canada. The Evangelical Fellowship of Canada always have a survey. You know, how are we doing? Are we growing or are we declining? But the sad fact is that in 1996, the evangelicals in Canada was 12%. In 2005, we went down to 9%. In 2020, just during COVID, we were down to 6%. Last year, the latest estimate that the evangelicals of Canada is now 4%. This is the percentage against the total population of Canada. And then this is a sobering fact as well. Less than 1% of the evangelical population in Canada are sent as missionaries. And fewer churches support missionaries. And so as a result of that, many mission leaders are emphasizing mission mobilization, missional discipleship, and developing a stronger sending culture with local congregations. I spoke to the then president of the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, Bruce Clemenger, and said, "Is this really true? Because you did publish this statistics." And he said, "Yes, and there is also an increase because of the immigration. Increase of many Muslims in our neighborhoods, increase of people from many different unreached groups right here in Canada. That's a challenge for us, folks. That's a challenge for us. But when believers engage in God's work, something happens. Faith grows, prayer deepens, generosity increases, discipleship becomes vibrant, and spiritual vitality returns. You see, mission is not really some kind of a burden that the Lord placed on the church. Mission is the lifeblood of the church. Some churches try to solve spiritual problems with organizational solutions alone. Yet the deepest renewal often happens when God's people reconnect with God's purpose. When that happens, worship becomes passionate. Prayer becomes urgent. Evangelism becomes natural. Service becomes joyful. And hope is renewed. The battle is not lost. But we're just in that situation now and the challenge for us. God has not called us merely to maintain what exists. He has called us to participate in what He's doing. So if mission drift is the problem, then how do churches stay aligned with God's purposes? How do believers move from simply knowing about the mission of God to actively participating in it? How do churches cultivate a culture where mission becomes more than an occasional emphasis and instead becomes a way of life? And the answer is intentional, missional engagement. So where's the need? And this is the need. Many sincere believers love God deeply, but often wonder, where do I begin? What is my role? How can I make a difference? How can our church become more engaged in God's mission? These are very important questions. But the good news is that God delights in helping His people discover their place in His mission. But remember, what we're talking here is God's mission. God's mission. So, missional engagement create pathways to help believers move from awareness to action, from information to participation, from spectatorship to discipleship, from church-centered thinking to kingdom-centered living. Mission becomes more than an event. It becomes a lifestyle, a way of living every day with God's purpose in mind. So the need is clear. Many believers sincerely desire to serve God, but need guidance, encouragement, practical pathways to become engaged in His mission. This conviction is what led me to the ministry God entrusted to me. So allow me to briefly share how God has called me to serve churches and believers in this important area. It started by when I was called by God many years ago, right after I became a follower of Christ. Somebody came to me. He was actually a Filipino missionary. That was unheard of before. A missionary, Filipino, from the Philippines, becoming a missionary. But he was. And he said, "Do you know, I know of a group." He said, "I know of a group." I was just a new believer. So I hear of a group with young people going around the world and preaching the gospel. "Maybe you should consider becoming a missionary." "What? Missionary? Me? From the Philippines?" My idea about missions or missionary at that time is that, you know, missionary is for the Canadians and Americans, you know, they go to the Philippines. For Filipinos, no. But then I thought about mission. I mean, they still do that. I thought it's finished, you know. And so my idea of a missionary is that they still have those pith helmet, you know, with machetes, going to jungles, you know, going like that. And I said, "They still do that?" You know, something like that. But he said, "Just pray. Pray that the Lord will call you in missions." Well, I said, okay. And so that missionary put me in contact with the Operation Mobilization, OM. And at that time, they had a ship that goes around the world with full of young people and preaching the gospel all over the world. And so I prayed. And eventually, I received their newsletters. And in particular, one day, I received a particular brochure, actually, that says, you know, one of the most unreached groups in the world are the Muslims. And they said, Turkey has about 200 believers. That's a population of 50 million. I said, I can't believe this. And besides which, they said, only 2%, a very catchy kind of a thing. Only 2%. What is 2%? Only 2% of the total missionary force are working in the Muslim world. I said, that's a huge task. So I started to kind of a, whoa, what is that? You know? But then they said, here's the thing. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. Matthew 9 says, just pray. Matthew 9, 38. And so I started to pray. I said, okay, this is the solution. This is the solution. I prayed. Lord, send missionaries to Turkey. Lord, send missionaries to the Muslim world. I prayed. There was a time as I was praying. This is after maybe 2 years of praying. I didn't see any results. I didn't see any answer from God. But one day, I have that feeling that the Lord seemed to talk to me that I am the answer to that prayer. I was scared. What? Me? And so, wow. And then the Lord opened the doors. I wanted to go to Turkey to plant churches there, but I was a new believer. OM did not allow me to go there because there's an intense persecution over there. So they wanted to protect me as well. So I ended up in West Germany at that time, participating in Turkish outreach in Europe at that time. But then the Lord brought me to, because he didn't send me to Turkey, the Lord opened the doors for me to be involved in this ship called the Logos and had ministry in Latin America. And so from there, in Latin America, the Lord showed me that my ministry is actually mission mobilization. I started to be involved in mobilizing the Latino church for mission to the Muslim world. And many mission agencies, Latino mission agencies, would attribute their beginning because of our ministry with Operation Mobilization. And they're now sending people into that part of the world. So in a sense, just to show you my ministry, the strategic importance of this ministry is like this. You know, I've been a missionary trying to, you know, share the gospel. So it's just like, this is kind of an analogy where, you know, the house is on fire. There are many people that need to be rescued. I'm doing it, you know, putting out the fire with my pail of water. But nearby is a fire hall. There's a fire engine there. But the firemen were sleeping. So the question is, what is the most strategic thing that should be done? The most strategic thing to be done is to wake up the firemen and tell them that, guys, there's a fire there. You have all the resources. You have all the ability to help me put out this fire. In a sense, that is my ministry. My heart is to help churches and believers engage more intentionally in God's mission by helping churches develop a missional vision, equipping believers for meaningful engagement, creating pathways for discipleship and mobilization, encouraging churches to recover their missional identity. We have lost that. The church have lost that missional identity. Supporting missionaries and sending churches, building partnerships for greater kingdom impact. This ministry is not ultimately about promoting an organization. It's about serving the local church. Because God has chosen the local church to be His primary instrument for making disciples among the nations. It's a biblical conviction for me that the local church is the key to world evangelization. Guys, Broadview Evangelical Free Church is one of the keys in reaching the world for Christ. And the goal is not activity. The goal is faithful participation in the mission of God. We're putting the plane to land now. Mission still matters. Mission mobilization and my ministry and other ministries in missional engagement, I'm a catalyst. It's actually, this is the missional engagement catalyst is a fancy word for simply a mission mobilizer. This matters because mission is still unfinished. There's still billions of people in the world with little or no access to the gospel, and many of them are even here in Salmon Arm in Canada. God has hand delivered them to us here in the lower mainland, over here in Canada. And the mission is no longer from the west to the rest. It has become from everywhere to everywhere. There are still communities marked by spiritual darkness, by poverty, by isolation, by brokenness. The mission is not finished. Jesus has not withdrawn His command. The nations still matter to God, and the church is still called to go. The need today is not merely more information. The need is for surrendered disciples and mobilized churches. Last story. There's a story told about a small lighthouse. There's a story about a lighthouse keeper who lived along a dangerous coastline. Ships constantly depended on the light from that lighthouse to guide them safely through the storms and darkness. That was before GPS as well. The ships use GPS nowadays. But even then, if you use GPS, you know, you still encounter this kind of problems. One day, the keeper began using the oil meant for the lighthouse lamp for other purposes. Helping neighbors, warming his home, meeting immediate needs. All those things seemed reasonable and compassionate. They were good things. Really good things. But eventually the lighthouse light grew dim. One stormy night, several ships crashed against the rocks because the light was no longer shining brightly. Church, the church must never lose its sight. Matthew 5:16 said, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We are called to shine the gospel of Jesus Christ into a world still marked by darkness, lostness, and brokenness. The church was never meant to exist merely for itself. It exists for the glory of God among the nations. Mission mobilization calls the church back to its biblical identity. The identity of the church as a sent people, a disciple-making people, a kingdom people, and a missionary people. The mission of God continues. The gospel still transforms lives. The Holy Spirit sends people, and Christ still calls His church to make disciples of all nations. And may God raise up churches and believers will faithfully engage in his mission until every nation, tribe, people, and language hears the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your great mission of redemption through Jesus Christ. Forgive us for the times we have become inward focused and disconnected from your heart for the nations. Awaken your church again to live as a sent people. Raise up disciples who will pray, give, serve, and go wherever you lead. Strengthen local churches to become centers of discipleship and mission. Use ministries devoted to missional engagement to help mobilize believers for faithful participation in your kingdom work. And may the name of Jesus be proclaimed among all peoples for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you.